morning. A sprint feels like an accurate representation of my life. Maybe you can relate. I don't look that graceful, though, as I run through my life, and I certainly don't move that fast. Well, my name is Andy Walsh, and I am a leader here at Blessed Community Church, sit on the Pastoral Advisory Committee, as well as I've been around and part of the plant community, that the group of us that started the church 5 years ago. And I'm glad you decided to join us here today as I talk about a topic that is frequently studied, as well as I try to practice it as often as possible, which is how to get stuff done and stress as little as possible while doing it. Well, this year is my actual calendar over the last few months. My wife Crystal and I, needless to say, we live pretty hectic lives. Maybe you can relate to that. We both run small businesses. We help each other with each other's businesses as well. We volunteer and lead here at Blue Ash, as well as we take care of our nearly 3-year-old daughter and nearly 16-year-old son. So we have kind of this opposite ends of the spectrum activities and things going on. So we typically wake up in the morning and divide up all the appointments and the things we have going on and just attack the day. And we're just very deliberate about it. You know, most days we don't see each other. You know, once we leave each other, we don't see each other again until dinner, which that may not sound abnormal. That's kind of the typical American life, where the thing is, we not only live in the same house, we actually sit at the same desk in the same room at the same office. Yet somehow we kind of separate and never see each other until dinner, until we eventually end up at the dinner table or crashing onto a couch, you know, passing out after a workout or whatnot. So in order to maintain my sanity, I've studied productivity and getting things done quite a bit in my life, whether it's through different trainings, through different books and coaches in my life. So I've studied quite a bit about being productive. But what I'm going to share today, it's been taught by many coaches, many people that have spoken in my life, but it was first taught in the Bible. It was first lived as an example by God, and then it was given as a command by God, but it was all by God first, and then us as business coaches and business people, we've brought it and used it to do more. So today I'm going to share God's secret to how to stress less and get more done. So let me ask you a couple questions just to think about. If you were to say, as of right now, compared to any point in your life, do you work more than ever before? Do you work harder than ever before? And do you stress more than ever before? Kind of think about that for a moment. If you're like most Americans, including myself even, like, the answer is yes. The answer is, yeah, I'm working my butt off. I'm working hard. I'm working longer hours, and I'm stressing more. God has given us a way that we can escape what we're already doing. This idea that we need to get more done, He gives us a secret that will let us get more done and stress less, but it's hidden by this idea that we need to actually work more and do more. It's hidden in plain sight. So today I'm going to first reveal the secret. I'm going to reveal it by looking at a week out of God's calendar and what he did. We're going to use his example, and then we're going to move on, and we're going to see that he not only gives it as an example, he commands us to follow this and live it out as well. And then finally, we're going to see how we can apply it to our own lives, stress less, and get more done. What if you could, like, get more done and actually stress less? I mean, what if that's possible? What if you could wake up, take on your calendar, your life, whether it's running around chasing your kids, running a company, or just handling the burdens of life? What if you can get it done and more, and actually be able to take a breath in the middle of it? Well, we're going to go over that. Let me pray, and we'll dive in. So, Lord God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for everyone who decided in the midst of the chaos of our lives to show up here this morning, to be here, to watch. God, I just pray that at the end of this time, we can just know more about you. God, I pray that we can take a deep breath, take a pause, and in this moment, in this time together, that we can just hear your voice and know more about you. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So today, we're going to see something special. It's something I pulled right from the calendar of God. It's a to-do list for his week, and it starts right on Monday. So day one for him. And now day one for us, our Mondays bring up this kind of thought, which is the Monday meme. So maybe on Facebook you're posting these. I know some of us were posting that we can't get through our Monday without a lot of coffee. You know, of course it's Monday. This isn't my Friday face. So, but for God, his Monday starts off like this. This is God's to-do list for the week, and we're going to go over this. So you can actually turn on your Bibles and follow along with his calendar. You're going to turn on your Bibles, open them up. We're going to be looking Genesis 1:1 right at the beginning, which is a very famously documented week of God's life, which is where he created everything. So, and we're going to see how he did it. And we're going to view it in the to-do format. So as you can see up here, Genesis 1:1. So I'm going to paraphrase it, but you'll actually be able to follow along pretty closely. He created the heavens and the earth. Monday, gets up, he's like, gives a good stretch, maybe a cup of coffee. Heavens and earth created, check. Lights, light and darkness, check. Day and night, check. And then evening passes and morning comes. And then he gets on to Tuesday and he creates the atmosphere, the sky, everything between water and the water and the sky, water in the ground, water in the sky. And evening passes and then the morning comes. And then Wednesday, hump day, he creates dry land, gathers together the land for dry land, and then on it, there's trees and the vegetation. He's just like, check, check. He's having a pretty good week so far. Gets to Thursday, he's like, you know, let's add the sun, we'll add the great light, and then we'll add the lesser light for the evening, and we'll create the seasons and the passing of time, and then the evening comes in the morning. And then God's to his Friday, and we wake up, we're like TGIF, you know, thank God it's Friday, and God's like, you're welcome. And although he might be like TMIF, which, you know, thank me it's Friday. But he gets to his Friday, and he in Genesis 1:20, he creates the fish, he creates the birds. That's a pretty good Friday. But he doesn't stop with the five-day work week. He continues in to Saturday. Likely you can relate at some point, just with the busyness of life. You got the Saturday, where he creates the land, animals, creates us as humans. We appreciate his Saturday. And then he delegates to all of us, you know, naming of the animals, managing of the animals. So as of this point, you might think, okay, I know the secret. It's that he delegates. You know, any productivity people out there, they're like, oh, delegating, that's something you need to do, which God practices it well, but that's some other lesson. We're not going to go over that today, but he did delegate to us the managing of all the wildlife. No, that's not what we're going to talk about. We're actually going to talk about what he did the next day on Sunday. So in Genesis 2:1, this is where the next chapter there, 2:1, it says, so the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. And on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. On the seventh day, he rested. He got all of his work done, everything he was doing for creation, and then he rested. So the secret that we have, it's hidden from us, this idea that the only way we can get more done is by working more, hides the fact that the secret is actually to rest and relax, to take time off. That is the secret. God so loves taking time off and so needs us, he knows that we need the rest, that he not only takes a Sunday off, he not only takes a day off a week, He actually, did you catch what he did throughout the week? Let me show this. Throughout the week, and evening passed and morning came. It's just this little hidden nuance that's in the Bible there. God got stuff done, and then time passed. He didn't just immediately go into what's next. It's minor, but that's an important detail. There was times of rest. Like, I like to think, what does God do when he's resting? What does he do when he's taking a little bit of time off? And I think of when we're kids, our parents always say, we always tell the kids, when there's a thunderstorm, God's bowling. You know, he's bowling with the angels. You ever hear that? So maybe God's bowling during this time. Who knows? But there's time passing between him getting things done. There's rest, not only at the end of the week, not only one day a week, but there's time in between. So God gives us this example that we need to rest. God not only does it himself, but he wants us to do it as well. And we know this because it's more than just an example, it's actually a command. It's a commandment, in fact. So Moses, the Ten Commandments, Moses comes down off the mountain, has the two stone tablets with the Ten Commandments on it. And then one of them reads in Exodus 20, 8 through 11, says, observe the Sabbath day. So the Sabbath day is the example that God gave us, like a day off at the end of the week. You work six, you get one off. That's what the Sabbath day is. So observe the day off. Keep it holy. Work 6 days and do everything you need to, but on the seventh day, it's a Sabbath day to God. Don't do any work. So if you're like me as of this point, and you think about don't do any work, you're kind of thinking, yeah, right. I mean, I'm an overachiever. I am a worker, okay? I like work. I actually like working. If I had a choice, I would probably choose working over sitting around doing nothing. I'm kind of a freak. You may not be able to relate with that because I know that's a little weird, but you might also be sitting here going, okay, don't work, yeah, right. Like, the idea of a day off, this Sabbath day, it's a holy hoop. It's a rule. It's not actually something that makes sense. It's something we have to check off. This is what I thought it was for the longest time. This idea of taking a day off, this commandment. You look at all the other commandments, you know, don't steal, don't covet. You're looking at the world and you're kind of like, well, these make sense. But taking a day off? What's that about? So I call it a holy hoop, which is something I just think of, it's a rule. It doesn't necessarily have a reason. So I always thought it was a holy hoop, but the fact is it's not a holy hoop. We need rest. We were created and designed to need rest. And God knew it so much that not only did he give us his example, he actually commanded us to take a day off. So as of that point, you might be saying, well, that's what you say, but I know that there's different cultures that, it's very much a rule. They have to sit there. They can't do any work. And that's true. But Jesus opens this up for us. He agrees that it's not a holy hoop. In fact, he sets the record straight. So I'm going to jump into Mark 2. At the end of Mark 2, Jesus is going to set the record straight. It's not a holy hoop. It's not some religious rule that we need to follow. And here we are. Mark 2, 27. And this is from the Message version. The Sabbath is for our good. It says, Jesus says, so as of this point, I should have set this up. As of this point, the disciples, the Pharisees, so the religious leaders at the time, they're trying to trap Jesus into showing that he's breaking the rules. His disciples were walking through a field and they grabbed some grain and they were breaking it apart with their hands. And they're kind of catching them like, hey, they're doing work. Okay, they're doing this little thing that is actually somehow work. They're breaking the rule. They're not obeying and jumping through the holy hoop that's set up there to be a rule. And Jesus is like, he's ready to lay down the truth. So here's what he says. Then Jesus says, the Sabbath was made to serve us. The Sabbath was made to serve us. We weren't made to serve the Sabbath. And there's different translations on this, and you'll see that all of them say the same thing. It's kind of like, what? What does that even mean? What he is saying, the day off, it's there for us. us obeying that is not checking a rule box. It's not making sure we obey a rule. We're supposed to take a day off because it's good for us. It's actually how we're made. We're made to take a day off, to rest, to recover. Now, you might be thinking, okay, that's he says, you know, no. The Son of Man, he's saying him, Jesus, I'm no lackey to the Sabbath. I'm in charge. He's in charge. Jesus is saying, we're in charge. Like, he has the authority to tell us this. He has the authority to establish that the Sabbath day is, in fact, for us to rest. And he does so there. So you might be thinking, okay, it's not a holy hoop. Well, let me say, so the Sabbath, resting, relaxing, sleep, I mean, they're for our benefit. They're for our benefit. It's not a rule. It's not a rule. It's something that we actually need to do for our benefit. The idea of taking a day off is for our benefit. So with that said, you might be thinking, once again, don't work. Yeah, right. And now let's address the elephant in the room of the idea of not working, which is we don't have enough time. I'd like to take more naps, but I have stuff to do. But the fact is we are notoriously bad at rest. We do actually have enough time. So at the beginning, when I mentioned the idea of thinking about whether you're working more or less, and the fact is we all feel like we're working harder, working more, and stressing more. We actually have part of the equation right. We stress more, but we're actually working less hours per year than ever before. And I didn't believe this until I actually went and researched it, because I'm like, yeah, right. No, I know what I feel, and I work more than ever before. And the thing is, we actually work less. So if you've ever calculated like an annual salary and what that works out to weekly, they tell you to divide things by 2,000. That's because you're paid for 2,000 hours a year. If that is too much data, anyhow, ignore it. But back in the day, yes, we're working and paid for about 2,000. But then vacations, sick days, holidays, paid, you know, these days that we kind of get off in the middle of the week for, you know, well, even Christmas is a holiday that we get off nowadays. These all add up to us actually working less days per year than ever before. So this goes back to 1950 all the way up to the 2000s here, where we're, you know, around 1,700 or less than 1,720 per year. So we're working less, but we still don't have enough time. And the reason is we're really bad at resting. We're really bad at relaxing. We're really bad at following the idea that God gives us that we need to rest and relax. It's part of who we are. We don't do it very well. So we all feel so burnt out all the time. So here's what we do. We have a moment. We go to the DMV, and we're number 46. They're on number 16. And so we get our number, we go sit down. Well, back in the day, you just have to sit there, right? You'd have to sit there. But nowadays, we can pull out our phones, and we'll pull out our phone, and we'll check out the news. You know, we'll get on Facebook. What does the news show us, though? Does the news relax you? Does anybody think the news is relaxing? The news shows us the worst parts of our world. And that's what we're filling our relaxation time, our downtime, the time that used to be boredom and relaxing. No, instead now we're filling it with hate, wars, murders, the things that build up anxiety and worry. That's what we're filling up our downtime with. And then there's Facebook. I love cat videos. There was still, honestly, if I wake up in a bad mood, I will grab my phone before I ever get out of bed, and I'll just look for whoever's posting the cat video or the funny memes to get me going. But what do you have to do in order to find the cat video? You have to scroll through a bunch of stuff. It doesn't make you laugh. It doesn't make you happy. It doesn't bring you up. You disagree with it. You have issues with it. Facebook, it's a great form of entertainment, but it's exactly that. I mean, the thing is leisure and entertainment, is not necessarily rest and relaxation. So we fill our time a lot with rest, relaxation, but we fill it with entertainment and leisure. We don't necessarily fill it with rest and relaxation. And then, of course, we fill our calendars up with all kinds of different things. How do they get on our calendar? Sometimes we don't know. Our calendar is frequently controlled by my wife, who she puts things on there. I'm like, do I have to do this? And of course, the answer is yes, because Mama keeps the calendar. So, but anyhow, we do too much. We're really bad at resting. So we need to get back to what God wants us to do, which is rest and relax. It's how we're built. And how do we do that? We need to be okay being bored. We need to be okay being bored. We need to recover those moments where we're sitting at our desk or doing whatever it is that you're working, and you've been at it for so long that your brain hurts a little bit, and instead of clicking over to Facebook, clicking onto the news, doing something that is going to give you a moment of relaxation, a moment away from your work, we need to get up and walk to the water cooler and sit there and talk about whatever it is that you streamed on the internet or something that, like we used to, a moment away from stresses and anxieties that we bring into our lives in every little moment that we get a chance. We need to figure out ways to bring moments of relaxing and rest into constant, and it needs to be a constant into our lives. Now, you might be thinking, what's this have to do with getting more done? The fact is we get more done when we're rest, when we're relaxed. You're more productive. Your mind is sharper. Your body reacts better when you're rested. I mean, these are things that I'm sure we know. We think we just kind of do well enough. But the thing is in order to go fast, we actually need to relax. So at the beginning of the message, I showed all the sprinters. And they're running around long, and they look all graceful and slow motion and things. And they're running absolutely as fast as possible. Let me show this, which is what their faces look like in that same moment. Now, when I run, I don't look like that. I don't look like that. My hands are clenched. My jaw's locked. I am not relaxed when I run. But if you want to run and move at an extreme speed, you want to be world class at something, you need to figure out what parts of yourself can relax in the midst of your work. And for runners, it's their faces. It's their faces and other parts of their body as well. They are actually relaxed on many parts of it. I really enjoy the. So we need to be like a sprinter's floppy mouth. So when you're in the middle of your day and you're starting to stress out, you need to go, what can I do to be a sprinter's floppy mouth? And that's what you need to do. We need to have moments of being a floppy mouth. Well, you might also be thinking, I don't have downtime, so I need to, because I got to get the stuff, I got to get it done. I got to get it done. My to-do list, there's little boxes there, and they need to have a checkbox in them. Well, let's go back to God's example here as we come closer to the end here. And I'll just say, let's look at that 2:2 again, Genesis 2:2. On the seventh day, God had finished all his work of creation, so he rested from all of his work. You think you have to finish it all before you can take a break? You don't. God didn't. He finished his work of creation, but he took a break from all of his work. He finished something, and then he took a break from everything. Don't feel like you have to finish it all before you can take a rest, before you can take a break. You just don't have to do it. You don't have to finish it all before you can go. We run our lives in what I call battery saver mode. So your cell phone, your laptop, you have it, and at the end of the day, especially if you didn't charge it or something, it starts to go into battery saver mode, power saver mode. You ever see that when it's running the battery? And like, when it's in power saver mode, the screen gets a little dimmer. Still works, but it's a little dimmer, runs a little slower. Some of the applications don't load. Does everybody kind of know the power saver mode that happens on your device? That's how we run through life. We're running through a non-optimal performance. We're not rested enough. The only way to be recharged is to rest, to recover, to recharge. So that's exactly what we need to do. God's telling us, hey, he doesn't want us to live our lives in power saver mode. He doesn't want us to live in some energy saving mode because we don't have enough juice to get things going. He wants us to live a fully charged, fully powered, thought ready to take on the world, make our impact. That's what God wants for us. And the only way to do that is to rest. So keep a day off, keep a day of rest, and keeping a sprinter's floppy face, and find moments to be bored rather than filling it with anxiety. So as I wrap up, so if we do these things, if we manage to take more time off, I can tell you that in my life, I'm pretty sure my wife will tell you two things about me. I love my Sunday nap. Here in a couple hours after this, I will be napping. It's a protected time. It's not on my calendar, but it's protected. There will be a nap. She will say that I like rest probably more than about any person she knows. But she'll also tell you probably, I can't say this for certain, I didn't ask her this, but that I'm one of the most productive people that she knows. I get stuff done. And I think it's very much because of rest. If you're willing to rest, you can get more done. You'll be able to be the best version of yourself with enough rest. So, as we're going to wrap up, I'm going to go over a couple next steps here for you. Now, living a life that is stressless and getting more done, the rest that I'm talking about here is very much the sleep, the rest, the recovery. But the fact is if you're in a crisis, if you're dealing with illness, if you're dealing with something far more than just the day-to-day stressful life, the idea of rest is far from you. And that is why God offers us another form of rest, which is the rest and peace that comes from being in him. Jesus can bring us rest. And the first step, the first next step here at Blue Ash Community Church is always to accept Christ. Yes, if you are rested, you can deal with crisis better. But the fact of the matter is the last thing you want to know is how to get more stuff done in the middle of crisis or illness. The fact is you just need the peace and the rest that plugging into Jesus can give you. So if you've not already accepted Christ, you can mark that on your Connect card. You can put these on your Connect cards, and we'll have buckets come by here in a little bit, and you can drop them in them. If you do make a decision to write down that you're accepting Christ, you can. There's Bibles in the back, and there's also a next step book. Those are our free gifts to you. Just take them with you. We'd love to just also know, so please let us know that. So accept Christ. The other one is to relax with the purpose. Unfortunately, we have to make a conscious decision to relax. It doesn't come natural to us. That's why it's a command. We have to remember to do it. So make a decision to relax on purpose. To instead of jumping on Facebook or a news website, choose to have a moment of being a sprinter's floppy face. Plug in to energy sources that give you life. And then finally, the third one is what I call the all-in version, which is keeping the Sabbath. You got your 6 days of work. Keep a day where you're not working. Keep a day where it's resting. Now, this doesn't mean sitting on the couch and doing nothing. This just means unplug from your primary work. Unplug from the things that take life from you, that stress you out, and have a day that you are working to instead relax, recover, rejuvenate, be restored. That's God's command for you, but it's also God's gift for you. It's how we're made, and it's how we're created to be, is to have a day of rest. So you can mark that on your Connect card. Here in a moment, and actually I'll go ahead and we can take up offering. Buckets are going to come by and you can drop the Connect cards in those. We are going to have some more worship songs, and we're going to have some prayer teams over here that you'll be able to pray with, as well as we have communion trays, one over here, and we have one in the back as well. Here at Blue Ash Community Church, anyone can participate in communion as long as you as long as you're a believer, as long as you've accepted Christ, you don't have to like be a member here or anything like that. On the trays, you'll see crackers. That represents Jesus' body. And in the bowl, that's juice. It represents Jesus' blood. And what we do is you just take the cracker and you dip it into the juice. And we do this just remembering God's sacrifice for us. Jesus' sacrifice, going to the cross for us, giving his life, his body, his blood for us, and ultimately dying for our sins. So we do that in the remembrance. You can do that as an individual, as families, together as friends. And then there'll be prayer teams to pray with you. So if there's something that you have on your heart, whether it has anything to do with this message or just your life in general, feel free to step over and pray. And I'm going to pray, and the worship band will play some more songs. Lord God, we just thank you for this day. God, we thank you that you want us to be able to take a chill pill, that you want us to be able to relax, that sleep is not a four-letter word, it's five, that we can enjoy our rest, that you actually want us to do this. And God, I just pray that you give us a moment of rest, a moment of peace in our day, that we can just think of you and that you can recover us. God, you want us to do amazing things. You've created us to just have an impact for you. And God, you want us to be recharged and ready to do that. And I just pray that all of us can find a moment to rest. Lord, just as we go into this moment of prayer, communion, worship, God, I just pray that we can be calm. And God, that we can just connect with you and know more about you, feel your presence. And Lord, we just pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.